intimacy that God is calling this church into. And I was so excited that God spoke and he said, Josiah, I came tonight to meet every single person where they're at. So however that first word applies to you, God came to meet you where you're at. And I want to piggyback on that great word. And step 6 and 7, we, every single one of us, have a marriage covenant with Jesus Christ. I, in Bible college, had a great friend named Nemo. And Nemo had a lot of struggles in his life, and he was trying to be able to step out of where he was his entire life and to be able to step into who God was speaking him to be. And he came to my room, and we talked a lot at Bible college. And one day, everything shifted in his life. And he said, Josiah, I'm so sick of being the same person. I know God has called me to be Moses. I'm supposed to be climbing the mountain right now, and I'm supposed to be becoming a prophet of God. But I keep looking at myself and telling me, you are the same person that you've been. You're going to continue struggling with the same struggles you've always struggled with. And he said, God said, get out of bed. He was struggling one morning, and God said, get out of bed and look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror, and you need to say, I am Moses. I'm climbing this mountain. Every single voice that's speaking to him, every single thing that he's struggling with, God said, get out of bed, look in that mirror and said, I am Moses. I am climbing this mountain. I am a prophet of God. I am not this. I am not that. I am not struggling. I am not addicted. I am not bound. And he simply looked the snake in the eyes and spoke. And it was from that day forward that you can see a miraculous change, a transformation in that man's life. And God has given us that word to be able to apply that to our lives. No matter what struggles we have in our lives, we're supposed to be walking in boldness and power and authority. Thank you, Brother Nicholas. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. This church is in a time of such growth and such revival within ourselves. We are in a time where God desires to manifest his power in us and in our community greater than we've ever seen and ever experienced before. And with that, it takes revival within ourselves. It takes submission within ourselves to a degree and to a place that we've never experienced before. So tonight, I'm very excited to be able to come and bring to you a sermon titled Vessels in the House. Vessels in the House. We're going to take some reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. So excited about this word. The letters in the New Testament, I used to be an Old Testament guy, all the wild stories. I know I was a teenager and people would tell me, why do you need to play Halo when you can read some of the stories in the Old Testament? I was like, you know, that's kind of real. There's some wild stories in the Old Testament. But the letters in the New Testament are so applicable to me that I'm just eating them up as an adult now. And in 2 Timothy 2, we see Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's calling out some people that aren't living right. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, we read, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Pray with me, church, that God would open our hearts, that we would allow him to be able to search us in this time. God, I thank you so much for this church. God, we're in the greatest church in the world. God, we submit ourselves to you wholly tonight, God. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you, Lord. God, we open our hearts, we open our minds right now and we submit ourselves to you. God, we declare that your voice, God, would speak truth and that every man would be a liar, God, when they speak contrary to your word. We declare, God, liberty for your word to be able to move and to be able to cut, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. And I want to apologize. I got so excited about the word. I failed to give Pastor Anthony and Brother Mitch honor. I'm so grateful. We are in the greatest church. And I am so excited that Pastor Anthony and Sister Michelle are going to be back this Sunday. I want to give them honor. So grateful for our great leadership in this church. So grateful for Brother Mitch and his amazing family. We've got an amazing church. An amazing church. We don't have to have Paul come and correct us because we've got a church body that's submitted. Praise God. So in 2 Timothy, we're reading and we're seeing that Paul is correcting these two men, calling them out two, and he names them by name, and saying, hey, these guys are speaking false doctrine. These two, and he names them by name. He says, you know, they're not doing the right things. I've instructed them. I've corrected them. They're intentionally teaching false doctrine, and I am handing them over to hell because I've done everything that I can do for them. In this lesson, in this opportunity, Paul's teaching the church yet again, because if you read the New Testament, you'll see this again and again, that God is the master builder, that the master builder is not exclusive in the materials that he uses when building. He's got a purpose for every single material. He's got a purpose for every single person. And even beyond that, that God is happy, he's jovial, he is in jubilee to refine any willing vessel for the construction of the kingdom. God is not exclusive, but if you're willing to be in the refining process, if you're willing to be a vessel, God is so happy to bring you in. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read even more workmanship. For we are, you and I are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You and I were made to share the righteousness of God. You and I were made to share faith, love, peace with the entire world. I know this isn't anything big, anything new, but I want to set up tonight that even with every single struggle, every single downfall that you and I have, you and I were intentionally handcrafted to be a mirror of the righteousness and the glory of God into this world. We were formed perfectly by the master craftsman. What's so beautiful about this, church, is that even though God made us with this magnificent purpose, he gave you and I free will to choose how and when we were going to submit and follow that purpose. There are three different things that make up how we are going to apply that purpose to our lives. First, you and I have a physical life filled with things. We've got jobs, we've got cars, we've got houses, we've got food, we've got hobbies, we've got all these physical things that God has blessed us with the opportunity to be able to have. The second is that we have a spiritual life. We get to open ourselves up and we get to feel. We get to glean from a being that does not stand directly physically in front of us. And to many, we hear from him in what we would consider a mystical way. And the third part is the physical byproduct of the spiritual lifestyle that you and I are living. So we have a physical life filled with things. We have a spiritual life where we get to experience things beyond our comprehension. And then you and I get to experience the physical manifestation of what we choose to live in the spirit. You and I get to choose what we want in our life. We might not understand that all the time, but you and I get to choose what we want to do in our life. We ask ourselves often, if you think about it, how spiritual do I really want to be? How much do I really want that new thing in my life? Will I allow the Spirit of God to lead me in my physical life? Will I allow the Spirit of God to really touch me and speak me to my spiritual disciplines, into my spiritual life? What is it that I'm made out of? And what is it that I'm willing God to make me out of? We ask these questions because you and I are vessels, because we have complete freedom, complete free will to choose what we are going to do, what we're going to be made out of, and not only that, but you and I get to choose what we're going to be filled with as well. In 2 Timothy 2:20, I'm going to read it again. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also some of wood and clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. So in this scripture, we're seeing four different materials, four different kinds of vessels. And I ask myself, God, why did you bring up these specific materials? And so tonight I'm going to share with you what I believe God ended up speaking some insights. And in my reading and in my study, I applied myself to each of these materials. And I'm hoping that you're able to do the same. Because God often shows us things in the spirit off of what we can see in the physical. So looking at the wooden material, we see wood is the first material that a lot of humans would make things out of. You know, it's pretty easy to carve a bowl. It's pretty easy to be able to make a pot. You know, we can make spears, we can make sticks, we can roast a s'more over the fire with a nice stick. Wood is something that is very malleable that we can do a lot with depending on where our mind and where our hearts are set. And an ancient practice that a lot of people followed was called wood turning. Is anybody here familiar with wood turning? I want to challenge everybody to go on YouTube when you get home and look up wood turning. It's the craziest method, in my opinion, of making a wooden bowl. You see, you'd get this big log and cut it out. It would have to be a live log. And then you would take it and you would put it on a wheel to the side and a giant log in front of it. And this log would spin around and spin around back in ancient times. And so you'd have somebody with a crank spinning this log around and somebody else with a really sharp chisel. And you would see the person with the chisel cutting away at the wood, shaving away and trying to find the bowl or the pot or the this or the that on the inside of this giant heaping piece of log. Now, I don't know how many of you out there are artists. I am not an artist. If you ask me to draw something, I'm drawing you a stick figure. If you ask me to see the bowl inside of a giant log, you're going to have a giant log at the end of that. I'm not going to be able to do anything. But these people would spend so much time and so much effort, so much meticulous time being able to create some of those beautiful bowls. And there are people today in 2023 that make the most beautiful bowls, the most beautiful pots using this method. And there are some things about it that make it one of the most interesting and difficult ways to be able to make a bowl. And yet what happens in the end is amazing. You see, you need to have a very, very sharp instrument to be able to make a wooden bowl in that method. Not only that, but when you start carving away at that giant piece of wood, there's actually liquid water that comes out of that log. Not only is there liquid coming out of that log, but there's shavings and there's wood chips and that's sticking to you now and it's all messy and it's all nasty. And, you know, imagine that log coming off of that wheel. It's not falling off that wheel. It's flying off. That's a hazard. You can get hurt. This is a dangerous method just for a wooden bowl. But the reason that this is so special is because the way to make the best, most solid, most long-lasting wooden bowls is through this method. And it's something that humans found out a long time ago. You know, the final shape of the bowl is the moisture releasing from it through a slow process. And humans decided a long time ago, they realized, you know, through this process, this very sensitive process, we need to make sure that we carve it out. And then we need to be able to put wax over it and control how much moisture is coming out. Otherwise, it's going to warp way too far this way or way too far that way, and it's not really going to be able to be usable. But if you submit it to the process, if you allow the craftsman to be able to make this bowl, you will have some of the most beautiful, eye-catching, versatile, timeless pieces that you'll ever find. And wood is welcome in the great house. Now, talking about clay is something that is actually considered, and I did not know this before studying, clay is considered the best material to cook with in the entire earth, even here in 2023. And the reason for that is because with clay, you have to heat it over a very low heat. And in doing so, you're making it a clay pot is going to actually cut down on the acidity in the food. It's going to cook the food without breaking down any of the enzymes. So you and I are going to receive full nutrition cooking in a clay pot. And on top of that, there are people in India today and in these extremely hot climates that will make a fish stew in a clay pot and then go on a bus, walk through India, and they will eat from that pot fish stew 4 days after they cooked that stew. Because they have it in a clay pot, it does not make any microbes in it. It is healthy. They've done science studies on it because it's kept in this clay pot. Clay's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. Not only is clay good for cooking to be able to give us the most nutritious meals, but bottom watering is also something that's used with clay pots. See, clay pots are really cool that if you pour water into the bottom, it sucks up the moisture into the soil and it sucks up the moisture into the clay. And you'll see that as the moisture gets sucked up and the roots suck up the moisture, that the dirt will go dry. And then when the dirt is completely dry, the moisture that's in the clay will actually come out of the clay and it'll go into the dirt and it'll help the plants to be able to last longer. Clay pots give an ability for plants to be able to last longer. Clay is very cool because it helps to be able to cut down on a city. You can keep your food longer, and it actually will sustain a plant in bottom watering. Now, with all of these awesome parts of clay, I want to talk about some of the dangerous things or some of the what I would consider lame things of clay, right? Clay is very difficult to make. Is anybody here a potter? Get some potters. Clay is very difficult to make, and I can only imagine 3,000 years ago trying to make clay. It's very easy to break. You're making it in an excellent, finely packed manner. You've got a wheel, you've got a kiln, you've got lots of time. And once that clay pot breaks, all it takes is a little nudge. I'm a very clumsy person. I'd break all the clay pots. They'd keep me out of the clay pot shop in 2,000 years ago because you just touch it and it breaks and it's almost impossible to be able to put back together. And if you do put it back together, it's never going to have the same integrity that it had before. One nudge, one drop, one moment, and the clay pot is ruined. But clay is welcome in the great house. Silver. Everybody here is familiar with silver. Silver's shiny, silver's cool, silver's expensive, and silver is the most ancient antibacterial medicine that mankind used. So much so that mankind actually used to grind down silver, put it in water, and they would have the wealthy drink little tiny silver because it was actually the first, I always forget this word, I apologize, antibiotic. Ground up silver was the first antibiotic. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. And so people, we understand that drinking silver, drinking from silver, eating from silver, it's able to be to purge water, it's able to purify. And silver has been used throughout all of time to be able to purify, to be able to make it to where humans can be healthy, right? So we see silver forks, silver spoons, silver knives, silver bowls, silver cups. And there was this thing back in medieval Europe where the royals would drink and eat all of their things from silver. And in that, it would actually oxidize their lips and their lips would turn blue. So they were called blue buds. And the entire reason that their lips were turning blue is because of the amount of silver that they were digesting, that they were trying to be pure, they were trying to be clean. So much so through that method of drinking and eating from silver that you could physically see the silver in their life in that method. And silver is welcome in the great house. Makes sense, right? I don't know about wood. I don't know about clay. But silver, that makes sense that that's in the great house. Gold. Gold has been the standard measure of wealth since ancient Rome and even before. Gold is not a hard metal compared to a lot of the other ones. So you're not going to have a gold drill because that gold drill is going to go dull very, very quickly. Gold, it's not really that plentiful. In studying for this, the whole earth has 3 Olympic pools full of gold on it and in it, and that's it. That's not that much gold, 3 Olympic pools worth. Gold isn't the rarest thing. There's a lot of it out there, but it's shiny, it's reflective, it's malleable. Gold is something that when it's refined by the proper craftsman, it can become something so worthwhile, so expensive. What makes it really distinct is that you can mold it into whatever you want it to be. You can make it into an image. You can make it into something fancy. You can use it to be able to show the world something unique about yourself. Gold is expensive. Gold is rare, and gold is something that we can use to be able to show something. Gold is welcome in the great house. You and I fit, like I said earlier, into one of these material categories today. Perhaps you're wood, and you feel like you are going through a messy carving process. Maybe you feel like you're drying out in the process, and everything that you had within yourself that was keeping you alive, God's removing it away from you, and you have no idea how you're going to live anymore. Well, if you're wood today, I want to encourage you to submit to the craftsman, because the craftsman knows what he's doing, and he's not going to let you dry out and break. Maybe you're clay today in this house, and you feel the fear and the intensity of the pressures of life, and you're scared that everything's going to shatter. You're never going to be put back together. You're never going to have the same integrity that you had. I've got some great news for you. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you, and he gives us beauty for his ashes. The pressures of this world will not overtake us. Maybe you're silver, and you have tried with all of your might to clean yourself up. Maybe you're silver and you have tried every single method that you know how to be as perfect as possible. I want to encourage you today that you're not a misfit, that you're not alone, that you're not doing it in the wrong house, but if you allow God to cleanse you, there's no side effects that are going to come. If you're silver and you're trying to do the right thing and you've got some side effects, I want to tell you that the God of joy and peace is here to give instruction and to be able to help you. And maybe you're gold. You've been holding yourself up to a standard that does not apply to you. It's time to receive your true value in your true redemption for the one that's made you so, so special. If you could all stand with me. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15 is a beautiful story. It's about a craftsman. It says, "Now if any man build his foundation upon gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it will be tried by fire." It will be tried by fire. What we build our house on and what we're building ourselves in, what we put our identity in, is going to be tried by fire. That's a fire of the Holy Ghost in 2023. And at the end of this set of scripture, there's such an exciting word for you, that if you're made out of a material that's not going to be able to make it through that fire, it's a good thing to you. If you're made out of a material and you get broken, you get burned up, you realize that you're not being completed, God wants to be able to restore and make you into a new material. You see, we're all accepted in the house tonight, church. We're all invited into the house tonight. God has made us to where some of us may be in honor right now and some of us may be in dishonor. But let me tell you something beautiful about God. He is here to be able to restore. He is here to be able to welcome us in. And he is here to be able to make us into something new. No matter where you're at right now, no matter what you've been going through, God has spoken to you tonight, and you are welcomed into the King's house. And not only are you welcomed, but no matter what material you are and no matter what is going on in your life, God desires to turn you into a glorified material. If you're silver and you think I'm purified and I'm all right, let me tell you a story. That is not the case and that is not the truth. If you're clay and you're sitting there with all the pressures and you know I've got all this pressure on my life, but if I can just hold it a little longer, I'm going to be okay. That's not how it's going to work. If you're wood and you're scared because you're getting chipped up and you feel yourself emptying out, I want to encourage you to hold on just a little bit longer, because God has the process in store for you. Whatever material you feel you're in right now, God didn't make you that just to leave you in it. We go through different seasons and different stories, and God's got his purpose to be able to bring us through it so that we can help somebody else come through it. God did not preordain you to be stuck or hurt or broken. God did not set you and I up just to be another person that's hurting in a pew. God has made us to be able to submit to the process so that we can then go on and grow into a glorified process. God's mercy is not only for you, but God's mercy is for me. In Romans 9, verse 18, it reads, "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shalt the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth the much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" God has extended mercy to us. And I read that scripture because God was speaking so clearly to me earlier that it is not our responsibility to extend mercy on our brother or our sister. If you and I are sitting here tonight, church, and we're looking at our brother and saying, oh, that brother is made out of clay right now, and I can see all the impurities and all the issues in them. If we want to sit here and look and say, oh, man, that's that person right there, oh, God forbid that we find ourselves in that situation. God is bringing his church forward constantly. We're all unified on one path moving forward towards the kingdom. As I was at the beginning of this prayer service, God reminded me that if we talk our brother about the stick in their eye, that God is going to judge us for the mite in ours. And so as we're going tonight into an altar call, I want to invite you all up and I want us to examine ourselves, to be able to see ourselves and see God's mercy and God's grace for ourselves. And I want us to be able to see, God, if there's anything that I'm doing to cast a stone at somebody else, God, I want you to forgive me and I want you to cleanse me. Oh, hallelujah, God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this night and for this word. God, our Lord, I want you to cleanse me. God, I want you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, open my eyes to be able